This is All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tabiri. As we do it this time each Friday, a discussion about the week in politics. Here to review what legislators are up to and how it may affect you are Rob Schofield of the Progressive NC Policy Watch and Becky Gray with the conservative John Locke Foundation. Hello.
Hey, Hello. Jeff.
The General Assembly was back in session Monday night, then again Tuesday morning for veto override votes. The measure, which is now law, eliminates judicial primaries in 2018. It also eases ballot access for third-party and unaffiliated candidates. Our focus for the moment is the judiciary piece. Hours after the override, with lawmakers on the way home or back in their districts, a proposed constitutional amendment was filed aimed at reducing judicial terms across the state to 2 years. They're currently 4 and 8 years. This constitutional amendment plan was met with immediate criticism. Rob, you've used the word dismantle as it pertains to efforts to change the judiciary recently. What's the plan here?
The plan continues. I've also described it as an assault. The Republican majority, the General Assembly, is doing its darndest to change the judiciary so that it will be more friendly to the policies that they're enacting. They're very worried about the laws that they've put in place being declared unconstitutional. They want a much more friendly judiciary. Indeed, they want to be able to appoint the judiciary. That's the ultimate plan. They'd like to be able to appoint judges. So, you know, they're summarily canceling elections. They're proposing to make everybody run every 2 years, which would just be it's the kind of thing Trump and Putin would propose. It's a very disturbing development.
Let me ask you this as a follow-up. So what if they want to have legislative appointments of judges? This is something that, as lawmakers have pointed out, Governor Cooper supported as a state senator 20-plus years ago. Why is that such a dangerous or bad thing?
The idea of merit selection, which is the idea that we would appoint judges and have them confirmed in some process, whether it's with the legislature and the governor doing it together, that may actually be something to look into. But we ought to do it in a thoughtful way. We ought to do it with the input of experts. We ought not to do it with, you know, constitutional amendments crafted in the dark of the night and passed in a partisan way. This is a big fundamental change for our state. We've got to be careful about how we do it.
I think Rob is incorrect when he says the legislature now is going to select judges. I mean, they are looking at different ways to select judges. Many, many states across the country do some sort of merit selection, some with retention elections, some with appointments. Unless Rob is privy to some secret information from the General Assembly, they're looking at lots of different options. I don't think that this consideration of the legislature is going to take this over and they're now going to appoint every single judge, I mean, that just is not factual. It is true that they are looking at many ways to change, to update our judiciary system. And this started with the redistricting of judicial districts, which the state as a whole has not looked at since the 1960s. And just think of the way the changes in population, the changes in demographics. Now, they're mostly Republicans. And all these accusations just right off the top, well, it must be because Republicans want to take over and it must be bad because Republicans are doing it. I really commend them for moving forward with this, for looking at ways to ensure that every North Carolinian across the state has access to the fair judicial system.
House Bill 2 was repealed in part earlier this year with H 142, House Bill 142. There was a lawsuit. There were several lawsuits,
right.
But there was a lawsuit that was still pending, even though there had been a partial repeal, an agreement to roll back House Bill 2. It appears as though there has been an agreement to end that legal fight this week. It stems from an executive order from Governor Cooper. What do you make of it? How significant is this? And a question for both of you. Is this just going to lead into the next chapter of a fight over transgender bathroom access?
Well, obviously the issue of transgender equality for people, LGBT people in general, is an ongoing process. We're getting there. It's a slow process. We're not where we need to get. Some civil and human rights groups sued the state after the passage of House Bill 142, saying that it still allows the state to discriminate, mandated discrimination in many respects against transgender individuals. Governor Cooper took a look at the lawsuit. They've been in process of defending the state, he and Attorney General Stein, and they realized it was an indefensible position that the state was in, and they agreed to get into a consent agreement in which we're going to move forward to lessen discrimination against transgender individuals. We're not there yet. This is not a perfect settlement, but it's moving us in the right direction, and I think all the parties need to be commended.
There was a compromise that was reached in House Bill 142. This is a political football that the governor has dragged back out. North Carolina needs to move forward. There has not been a single claim of discrimination from a transgender person since this compromise was made in North Carolina. There's also an overreach with this executive order that it would, and the universities have said, leave us alone. We're dealing with this just fine. We don't have a problem. We're dealing with it on our campuses. So there's a real overreach and a question of how much Governor Cooper actually has the authority to do. There's some constitutional questions involved in this.
Let's move to the opioid crisis, which has received a lot of attention from the media, elected officials, and medical experts in the past few years. An investigative report released this week by The Washington Post and 60 Minutes found that Congress and drug companies worked together and, as a result, crippled the DEA's ability to fight opioid abuse. This epidemic only appears to be worsening, and while lawmakers are holding plenty of town hall meetings and listening sessions and getting out in front of this, I'm wondering if you think they should be doing more from a policy standpoint or elsewhere. Becky?
Well, as the crisis continues and we learn more and more sort of the different layers and the depths of how we got here, North Carolina lawmakers are looking at it. Of course, our attorney general has been out in front of it. But, you know, I think what we've learned in the last week is the involvement at the federal level and what needs to be done there. I don't think North Carolina can solve this problem alone. I'm not sure the federal government can solve this problem alone. This is one where, across the board, we need to be involved. People that have abused this, that have caused this, need to be held accountable for it. I think we need more transparency in these kind of things. And dealing with these addiction problems, not only with the opioid addiction, but, you know, addiction is rampant and mental health services are needed. So this all fits together. And I think to focus on only one, and Jeff, again, I think to just point fingers of, you know, well, it's your fault, no, it's your fault, no, it's your fault, doesn't help that family and that person that is trying to break out of this addiction.
Yeah, I agree it's a lot of people's fault. I think the 60 Minutes Washington Post story, however, showed that this is what government in modern America is like when giant corporations and their high-powered lobbyists run our government. And that's effectively what happened here. Giant corporations and families that control these corporations are making billions of dollars by pumping billions of these pills into communities that certainly didn't need them and that are they're hooking entire communities in our country on this stuff at the same time that they're putting people in jail for smoking marijuana. We have an attorney general who wants to do that. I mean, our policy on these matters is completely upside down. It's a public health crisis that needs to be treated as such. We need much deeper investment in public resources, mental health services. I just saw an article in the Wilmington paper this week about how they have no mental health services in that community. At the same time, they've got this raging opioid addiction. So, I mean, our policy's upside down here, and it's about making money instead of helping people.
Becky Gray is with the conservative John Locke Foundation. Rob Schofield writes for NC Policy Watch, part of the progressive North Carolina Justice Center. Thank you both.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
You too.